Amen. 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 Jesus is real today. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. Jesus is real today. Amen. 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 I simply wouldn't have a religion. I couldn't feel every now and then. Amen. 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 I feel the presence of the Lord in this place today. Amen. Amen. I guess I'll ask the question, has he been good to you? I mean, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know the Lord's been good to you and made ways for you and opened doors for you. Yeah, he's real today. He's real. Amen. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. God for the third person and the Holy Spirit who has visited this place today. Amen. Amen. He says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He says, I'm going to leave you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And listen, I wish I'd been there on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When the Spirit was so high, 3,000 souls joined the church. Amen. Amen. And the presence of the Lord is in this place today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir, for reminding us that Jesus is real. Amen. I don't know a whole lot of stuff. You know, a lot of things I don't know, I don't understand. But one thing I do know, that Jesus is. And I stand on that. I'm steadfast in that. That Jesus is real. Amen. Amen. There's a word I want to lift today from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me read that again. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to talk to you this first Sunday of 2019 from the thought the responsibility is yours. The responsibility is yours. Stewardship is a word that is misunderstood and has been misrepresented. It is also a word that quiets the church. Whenever we hear the word stewardship, we automatically think that someone is going to be talking about and begging for money. When we hear the word stewardship, there are those who clam up and shut down. And I've discovered that most of us, and most of the time, the people who clam up and shut down and complain about begging for money are the people who aren't doing it right anyway. Stewardship, however, is primarily not about your money. We automatically think about money, but stewardship is about your time, your talent, and your treasure. Stewardship is about the management of something or someone else's behalf, something that belongs to them that they have trusted you to take care of. Stewardship is someone trusting you to handle something they have given you in the same way they would handle it themselves if they were handling it and not you. Stewardship is being given something with the expectation that you would treat it like they would treat it if they hadn't gave it to you. What do you offer God? A good phrase for you is, it's God's by ownership and mine by partnership. We are co-laborers with the Lord. Psalms 24:7 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Didn't say the money is the Lord. It says the earth is the Lord. Didn't stop there. Watch this. The world and they that dwell within. The earth is the Lord, the fullness of it, and they are the Lord's. The implication is they belong to the Lord just like the earth. I know many of you say, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman, and maybe that's proper in the right terminology, but the fact is all of us belong to the Lord. We don't own ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. There's a song that says, I belong to God from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I belong to the Lord. So if I belong to the Lord, I'm not only my own, and I'm on management to me from God, which makes stewardship bigger than God. He's not after your money. He's after your life, because if he gets your life, he'll get your money. Yeah. Let me say that again. If he gets your life, he'll get your money. Because if he gets your life, he'll get everything else that belongs to him that he asked for. Here's what blew my mind about God and stewardship. I thought about tithing. Don't worry, I'm not preaching on tithing, but I thought about it. I've never known anybody who would give you something that belongs to them, allow you to manage it, ask you to give some of it back to them, and let you keep more than you give back. Because if he only asks for a dime, that's 90 to play with. Play now. I need to play with it in his way, but I don't know of anybody that will give you 90% increase on a 10% deposit. But it starts with your life. In the text, if you read the entire chapter, Paul eventually gets to giving, but it's interesting that he does not start the chapter with giving. He starts with something else. He says, I beseech you therefore. When we get a peep into Paul's theology, he says, therefore is a connecting word. Y'all don't mind a little grammar class in here today. It's been a while since y'all been to school, but therefore means I said it, and based on what I said, I'm getting ready to say something else. So that if there's a therefore, I need to discover what was said before therefore to know what the therefore is there for. Because if there's a therefore, it's there for a reason. Y'all go with me. I'm going somewhere. Unless we know what the therefore is there for, we'll never understand what Paul is saying following the therefore. Because what he's saying following the therefore is based upon what he said before the therefore, which lets us know that the therefore is therefore for a reason. Romans is really divided into three therefores. Chapter 5, verse 1, we're not going there. The second is chapter 8, verse 1. In chapter 8, verse 1, before therefore, he has been talking about this thing in his flesh. Where his flesh does things his spirit doesn't want to do. He says, what I want to do good. We always focus on the part that said evil is always present because we don't want to talk about the next part. I end up doing the very thing I don't want to do. So Paul is in a wrestling match about the spiritual schizophrenia that he lives with. I want to do good, but I can't. Paul says, I try to do good, but I can't. He says, I want to do right, but it ain't happening. I'm struggling because he loves the Lord too much to keep hurting him. So at the end of this thing, when he's struggling with himself, he comes to this conclusion. He says, oh, wretched man am I. Turn to translation, with your tired, trifling self. Who's going to deliver me from this schizophrenic existence? Can I tell y'all, Paul is not the only one. Paul ain't the only one dealing with some stuff every day. When you try to do good, evil is always present. When you want to do the right thing, something comes up and causes you to do. Am I talking to anybody in here today that's like Paul, that's struggling with this schizophrenia? That on this day I'm Jekyll, on this day I'm Hyde. I'm just dealing with this stuff. Paul says, who will deliver me from this schizophrenic existence? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Since I have the victory through Jesus Christ, there is therefore, based on what I said, because I'm thankful to Jesus, the schizophrenic existence that I live can't get the best of me. There is therefore no condemnation. Thanks be to God that even though I'm uncommitted, I'm not condemned. The penalty has already been paid. Even when I'm uncommitted, that doesn't mean I'm condemned. I might have consequences, but I'm not condemned. And that's a word to somebody here today. Maybe somebody's made you feel condemned. You need to know today that Jesus Christ's blood covers all of your sins. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you live. The blood of Jesus covers. So he says in chapter 11, he says to the people of Israel, he says, no, now understand something. I rejected you because y'all wouldn't act right. But he says, your rejection is not total or final. I put you on hold, but I'm not through with you. I put you on pause. And listen, you ever had a CD that you put it on pause? You put it on pause, it doesn't stop spinning. It keeps right on spinning. So that it's still working, all you got to do is press play. God says, I put you on pause, but I didn't take you out of the CD player. And that's a word to somebody here today that's just been spinning. God didn't take you out of the CD player because you messed up. He just simply put you on pause. And once you get back in his grace, once you get back in his spirit, once you find yourself again, how many of God will push play? And you can keep on going. Now folk want to keep you on pause forever, but God says, as often as you ask, I'm faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How many of y'all here today can say, God, I thank you. You didn't totally reject me. You kept me in the CD player. You could have taken me out. You could have thrown me away. But I thank God for putting me on pause. So watch this. I'm about to set up the therefore in chapter 12. Based upon the fact that you haven't been condemned, based upon the fact that you hadn't been totally rejected, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, Based on what I said, this is what I'm going to say. Based on the fact that you deserve damnation, based on the fact you deserve condemnation, based on the fact that Jesus stood in your place, based on the fact that God did not give you what you deserve, based on the fact that you are no longer condemned, based on the fact that you may seem out, but it's not final, based on the fact that you are Gentiles, you got in on something that you are not part of at first, based on the fact that you are to be so grateful that God gave you another chance. And can I pause there? The only reason you made it to 2019 was because God wants to give you another chance. The only reason you survived everything in 2018 is that God wanted to give you another chance. Do I have any witnesses in here today? Do I have any another chance folk in here today? You know, we like to say that God is a God of second chances. No, he's more than a God of second chances. Because listen, before I got grown, I ran out of second chances. But God is a God of another chance. And here you are in 2019. It's your responsibility to do something with another chance. God could have taken you out. There's some things could have happened. Listen, Brother Townsend said my son was just driving home. And the car hydroplane and lost his life. How many know it could have been me? It could have, listen, you hadn't lived so well, you hadn't been so good. God just gave you another chance. And how many can thank God today for another chance? Now you got it. What you gonna do with it? The responsibility is yours. But we like to pass the buck. We like to say it's somebody else's job. Pastor, that ain't my job. You know, we walk in Mount Moriah and see some things that need to be done, and we're quick to say that ain't my job. I don't work in that ministry. I don't. We got folk for that. That ain't my job. But listen, all of us have the same responsibility. And if that's something you see need to be done and you can do it, listen, you ought to be guilty of doing whatever you can do for the Lord. Don't worry about whose job it is. It's all of our job. Conversely speaking, and I probably should have waited till next Sunday to preach this, some of us have a problem with folk doing stuff we think we only assigned to. I don't know what they think they're doing. That's my job. If I need their help, I'll ask them for it. Ain't nobody asked them to help me. No, it's all of our responsibility. If you walk in here and see some paper on the floor, you all not say it ain't my week to clean up. I'm gonna leave it. That's everybody's responsibility. And look. Based on the fact that God doesn't look at your faults like other folk around you, based on the fact you messed up, but you still got a future, based on the fact that you made a choice, but he didn't dismiss you, based on the fact I beg you to do something, since you know something, since you know what you know, you are required to do something. It's not what we know, it's what we do with what we know after we gain the knowledge. Because life can be good when you don't know. But when you get the knowledge, it becomes your responsibility. Would you tell your neighbor, it's my responsibility? I've got the knowledge, it's my responsibility. You see, just because I'm pastor doesn't mean I got all the responsibility for my Mariah. As a member, God would hold you responsible for your part as a member. Because you have the knowledge, it's your responsibility to give the knowledge of God imparts upon you. Once you have the knowledge, God holds you responsible. And a whole lot of y'all think it, you know, well, I'm under Pastor Turner. It's gonna be on Pastor Turner. You know, he is, no, I'm not responsible for you. I'm responsible for giving you the knowledge, and once you get the knowledge, it's your responsibility after that. Do you hear me? God's going to hold me responsible for not giving you the knowledge if I don't give it to you. But once you get the knowledge, the knowledge God holds you responsible. So all of you who sit there and do nothing and have the knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done and continues to do, and you sit there and do nothing, God holds you, not me, responsible. It's your responsibility. Whatever part you play in this church, it's your responsibility. And I dare you to let anybody stop you from doing what the Lord called you to do. I've discovered that folk that want to quit because of somebody said this or somebody did that, you were doing it for the people. You wasn't doing it for the Lord. If you're doing it for the Lord, it doesn't matter if you like it. If you don't like it, it does not matter whether you talk about me. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord. Because in the end, folk don't have a reward for you. Jesus has a reward for you. Whatever you promise God that you would do, it's your responsibility. Whatever you know you should be doing or not doing, it's your responsibility. The pledge you made about this time last year, because some of y'all swore last year I'm going to do better in 2018 than I did in 2019, and you didn't do no better. Whatever pledge you made, it's your responsibility. You see, revelation brings about responsibility. What God honors is not your grasping of the concept, but how many know your response, you respond living the concept in the context. See, a whole lot of us got the concept, but we don't practice them in the content. Can I show y'all? The concept is rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, but when I'm in a context that's kicking my behind, I don't feel like rejoicing in the Lord always. Let me be real here. The concept is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and God will direct your paths. But when I'm in a context where it looks like it ain't working out for me, it ain't easy to trust in the Lord. Y'all might as well be real and say amen and here today. The concept is pray for your enemies, but when your enemies are still getting on your nerves, it ain't easy to practice the concept. The concept is pray for folk who misuse you, but it ain't easy praying for folk that dog me and low me and stab me in the back. It ain't easy. Context is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise that shall continually be in my mouth. But when my context where I don't have a job, can't pay my bills, single and sleeping in a double bed, went through a divorce, and my child acting like they gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, I don't feel like it. The concept is preach in season and out of season, but sometimes stuff gets on my nerves so bad, can I be honest with y'all, I really don't feel like preaching. God says, I'm not pleased when you only grasp the concept. I'm pleased when you grasp the concept and live it in the context. In other words, the responsibility lies with you. Listen, your shouting doesn't impress God. If responsibility does not live up to your shout, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies, not your money, your bodies. Present your bodies in recognition of the mercy that has been given you, what has not given you what you deserve. Based on the fact that I've not given you what you really deserve, I want you to present your life. The word presenting, that they mean that when you went to the temple, you would bring your sacrifice in your hand. You'd come to the altar, you'd place it in the priest's hand. You have not presented it when it's in your hand. You have not presented it when you go to the altar. You have not presented it when you first put it in the hand of the priest. You don't have a presentation until you put it in the priest's hands and take your hand off of it. And a whole lot of our problem is we don't want to take our hands off of it. It's not presented until I bring it, put it in the priest's hands, and take my hand off of it and leave it with the priest to handle it in the way that he wants to handle it. I beseech you, therefore, my brothers and sisters, take your hands off of your life. Take your hands off of your job. Take your hands off of your family. Take your hands off of your problems. Put it in the hands of the Lord and let him work it out. And he will work it out. Won't he do it? Can I tell you, he does not need your help. He does not need your insight. He does not need your advice. I wouldn't serve a God that I could give advice to. But we like to give the Lord, as a matter of fact, we give him specific instructions. When to go, what time to be there, where to go, what to do and say when he gets there, as if we can order God around. I mean, come on. If I got a God, I can order around. He ain't God. But how many know he does not move according to your time, because his time is not our time and his ways are not our ways. But we get disappointed when God doesn't move as quickly as we think he ought to, because we're used to ordering folk around. You know how it is, Brother Love. You order Sister Love around and she move when you say move at. She does exactly what you tell her to do. You can go home with me after church, Brother Love. But God is not like that. He doesn't need your insight. He doesn't need your advice. Hebrews says we have a high priest who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Take it to the high priest and then take your hands off of it. It's your responsibility to present it, your bodies. It's your responsibility to work it out. Listen, it's his responsibility once you present it for him to work it out. And I've discovered that he knows just what to do. I ought to have a witness right along here. He knows just what to do. Jesus knows how to fix it. I better not do this, but the old folk used to sing a song that said, let Jesus fix it for you. Yeah. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, just let him have his way. No matter what the problem is, let him have his way. Anybody here know that he is a problem solver? Anybody here know he is a mind regulator? Anybody here know you ever took your hands off of it and put it in the hands of the Lord and said, now God, you fix it. Won't the Lord fix it for you? How do you know he fixed it one day for my mother? He fixed and for my father too. And if Jesus can't fix it, nobody can. And there's somebody here today been trying to handle it on your own. You've been trying to work it out on your own. But God said, present it to God. Put it in his hand and take your hand off of it. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and give it to him. Anybody here ever took your burden to the Lord? How do you know that problem that I had? I prayed, but I kept getting deeper involved. But I tell you what I did. I turned it over to the Lord, and the Lord worked it out. Won't he do it? Won't the Lord do it? Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes, but that's all right. Jesus, you don't hear me? Jesus, won't he fix it? After a while, by and by, when the morning comes, when all of the saints are gathering home, we'll tell the story of how we've overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Won't he work it out? Won't he make a way? If you know he will, take your neighbor by the hand. Say, neighbor, Jesus will fix it after a while. Hold on. Help is on the way. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Once you get the knowledge, the responsibility lies with you. What are you going to do with the knowledge? United Negro College Fund's slogan is, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Knowledge is a terrible thing to waste. Matter of fact, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. You come here on Sunday morning, you come here on Wednesday night, you get the knowledge. What are you doing with it? Who are you sharing Christ with? Who are you leading to Christ? And can I tell you, your job is to get them here. Jesus will do the rest. But we want to put people in a box. We want to put them in a square. You've got to be this, or you've got to be. No. Your job is to just simply introduce Jesus. He'll take it from there. If you're here today, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've got the knowledge and hadn't been living up to the responsibility. Would you come today? By letter, by Christian experience, you can come as a candidate for baptism. The doors of the church open. What better way to start 2019 than deciding to make Jesus your choice? Would you come?
Would rather